Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Prep school basketball team in Minnesota. We've documented them some over the course of time, and they're in studio with us tonight. Lakai Patterson, Lucas Patterson, his father, Donnell Breton, and Rudy Tahir. And we always got to start, Lucas, with you want to take the first one. Explain the Minnesota Prep School, what this is, how you guys go about your business, and who's in school.
Okay, so Minnesota Prep is a preparatory academy, high school prep. So down south, East Coast, this is a thing that's been going on for 20-plus years. New phenomenon kind of here in the Midwest. So what it is just a high level of basketball training, development, and competition all across the country. So we're the first of our kind in the region. And when I say region, I mean the Dakotas, Wisconsin, Iowa, even parts of Illinois.
I thought there was one in Iowa.
There is one similar. We actually played them the other night. They're called Quakerdale, but they're only a fifth year prep. We're a high school national team with a fifth year prep.
What's the difference? They're a fifth year prep, meaning for a true prep school for people that are done with high school that want to transition year before they go to college.
Yep.
That's all they facilitate, whereas you guys facilitate that plus more.
Yes, bigger, faster, stronger, the cushion year. That's the fifth-year prep. That's what it's about. Work on SAT, ACT prep, trying to get the kids eligible and exposed.
Now your players come from all over the country.
Yes.
How do you find them?
Well, we also have a part of the AAU circuit. I want to give a shout-out to Future Academic Ballers, which is also founded by Lucas Patterson. So we've been having kids since third grade all the way up, and that's why you have some of these players standing in before you tonight. So when we go around the country, people are hearing about not only Future Academic Ballers, but I have an opportunity to look on the other side of the court and see some other players that may have some potentials to be a part of a prep school. And so I approach them just like any other college coach does that wants to recruit them and say, hey, I know you're in sophomore in high school, but now let's give you an opportunity to play on a bigger scale because you can get more exposure by playing on this national prep school.
But you have to talk them into coming to Minnesota, too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and then, you know, it's, what, almost like six below right now? I don't know what
it is what it is, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But basketball is an indoor sport.
Where do they stay if they're from out state?
So we have host families, and we have host homes. And so some of the parents that have been with us for years with our, you know, other basketball organization has opened up their homes and let them have. Because, again, you got to think about it, these are younger kids. So families want to make sure that their children are not just going into a place.
Right.
They want to be in a family-oriented household so they can have some, you know, supervision, the proper supervision.
Now, Rudy, you didn't have to go far because you grew up in Brooklyn Park. What was your impressions when you first, you know, this was a new concept when you started playing. So you get on the court, you get to school, and what do you think? What was it like right away? Because, you know, you're leaving your high school for this. What did it feel like right away when you got there?
It was a big jump because it was something I'd never done. So going on to play at the prep school, I had to just, you know, take that leap of faith and trust in the people that I had coming up along all these years. And I like the adjustment because I'm more of an independent person, so it allowed me to flourish and, like, just become more me and stuff like that.
In Lakai, of course, with your father, Lucas, running it, you knew something about it, but what was that like trying to be a leader on that team right away?
Well, coming from Brooklyn Center, I was kind of already a leader coming from that team. So, I mean, it really wasn't like that big of a step, and I knew what he expected of me. So,
yeah, Lucas could flat out shoot it back at Augie, you know. Flat out, man. And we played with the Ripneys. He took a guy. You weren't afraid to low post him either.
No. No, I got it in, inside and out.
Yeah, Larry McKenzie was your coach, right?
Yep, I played with McKenzie for the Ripneys, yep.
Yeah, the Ripneys, explain who the Ripneys were. They were a short-lived minor league team.
Well, when I played with the Ripneys, at that time, I perceive and believe that the D-League wasn't as good as the ABA at the time. And our commissioner in the ABA was John Sally from the Detroit Pistons. So I just thought the talent level in the ABA was crazy. It just wasn't as organized as the D-League, but it was talent-wise, I think it was superior.
And you guys traveled all over too, right?
Yeah, we went all over the country, yep.
And I don't even remember. How did that fold? What happened?
It was just they didn't do it. I don't think they did it proper franchising like they should have. If they would have did it right at the top with the owners and the ownership, it would have been better. But our owners were great.
So. Yeah, because you're playing for pace, they had to make a payroll and all that stuff, right?
Right. Every week.
Yeah. And so, Donnell, what have you seen in terms of the growth of this team since you guys started it to where it is right now? How is it different?
Well, I mean, what I have seen is that last year was our first year, and so no one really knew Minnesota Prep Academy. We, like, the first prep school that's in high school prep school that's in the Midwest. So some of the places that we would travel to didn't even know anything about us. And so, and it actually exposed how great and how talented Minnesota is in regards to the players. So to compete with all of those that are playing at a national level last year, like we went in, let's just say we were ranked in our league out of like 40 teams, probably ranked 38 going in, right? Because they didn't know who we were
last year.
But we finished in the top 7 for a first year school. So that was really big. Now this year, everybody knows who we are, and now we rank one of the top teams in the grind session, which is our league. We rank number 3 behind some teams called Prolific, which has Jalen Green, which everyone kind of knows about in the country. Is like he's listed on ESPN as the top
player in the country.
Top player in the country. And so we played against – this is the competition we played in against, like, Deshaun Nix, who's going to the UCLA, which we beat that team. And, you know, so these are the teams that we're beating day in and day out. And you'll see these players in the NBA sometime in the next couple of years.
How do you play your way up in the grind session to become ranked?
You keep
ranked?
Winning.
Your record since Thanksgiving has been unbelievable,
yeah,
right?
20-1.
Yeah, we're 20-1. And I just contribute that to these guys gelling. I think the first 7 games were rough. We played Oak Hill at Oak Hill.
They take it to you?
Yeah, I mean the atmosphere was unreal. Like you couldn't even believe it. Like I couldn't even describe it. It was more crazy than going like.
Well, what kind of gym do they have? Is it like a high school gym?
Real small, small. Like maybe 2 rows or 3 rows of bleachers, and then it's just on top of you. And then they haven't lost in 22 years when we were there.
So 22 years they haven't lost at home?
They haven't lost at home in 22 years. So it's some home cooking.
Got figured out. Kai, what was that? Take the floor and see what that was like.
I mean, that was tough, definitely. It was like just going back, like me playing at De La Salle again.
Yeah. Really, where they draw the big crowd, pack it in on the island?
No, yeah, they're just on top. It's like Duke, kind of.
Yeah, the Duke.
You
know,
just how they'd be on top of you and just yelling at you and all that.
What were their talent level like?
Oh, they got some top players. A boy named Cam Thomas is going to LSU. They got 2 players going to LSU. Their whole starting 5 is Division 1 for sure.
High major.
Now, you got Vanderbilt looking hard at you, amongst others.
Yeah, I got they offered me earlier this year.
What do you think?
I like Stackhouse and Grace. I like the vibes they give off.
And that's pretty good school academically, too.
No, yeah. I got to take care of that so I can get in.
Yeah.
And you guys go to school every day just like you do in high school. What are the courses like?
We go to a setting. So then we get we have our computers. So we just, whatever the work the teachers give us and assign us that day, that's what we do.
How do you like that, Rudy?
I like it a lot, actually, because as I previously stated, I'm more independent. So it allows me to, like, I can move at my own pace than other students. So if he wanted to move at a slower pace than me, he could do that. And I think it just suits the kids really well because they can move at their own pace and it's no pressure to.
But you got
to
keep up.
Yeah, you got to move along. But long as you're moving, that's all that matters.
So can I interject? He's a 4.2 grade point average student.
Rudy is? Yeah. He is a self-starter, isn't he?
Yeah.
He gets after pretty good, huh? Yes. You don't have to worry about Rudy, right?
No, supreme leader. Elite.
So, Donnell, when you get kids that are interested in it, do you have to check their GPAs right away to make sure?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a strenuous process that you have to go through. You got to fill out a survey. I mean, we ask a lot of questions, even down to what you like to eat, right? Yeah. So, but it's all about if the person fits, but the grades is the most important thing. I mean, let's face it that, you know, some kids are labeled as dumb jocks in some settings. Not here. We want to make sure that our students are qualifiers. And in order to be a qualifier to play at an NCAA Division I level, you have to have at least, you know, some decent grades, not just a C average.
Now, what do they, you know, they always talk about the clearinghouse and all that. What do you have to be eligible?
So typically, if you want to get into like a small or to a mid-major Division I school, you have to have a 2.5 and like an 18-19 on the ACT.
Right around there. Those are the two things you look for?
Those are the two things I look for. If you're close to it, we can work with you because I do understand that some environments are not conducive for kids to thrive in as far as education. Our environment, if you're willing to put the work in, you'll be able to make it through it.
But, Sweet D, you can't control these guys all day. So you can integrate basketball and books and all that. So they really don't have any excuse for failing, right, because you're all over them all the time?
Absolutely. So Coach Patterson is the person around the basketball, making sure that they're being developed, the mindset to get ready. Me, I'm around the education, and sometimes if you're not doing well, when I show up, there might be a problem, right?
So might be kids, a problem.
Because all I'm saying, if your grades is not right, you can't practice, and you can't go on this trip with us. And that is the carrot that keeps them on the floor. So if you don't have a 2.5, if you are a Division I student, you can't practice because Division I players have a 2.5 or higher.
And so you're not worried about Rudy.
No, not at all.
Just tell him what time practice is, he'll be there, right?
Right, absolutely, absolutely. Rudy actually helps in the classroom and helps, you know, help some of the kids that need help also too. So we do everything as a team, education, everything. So everybody helps everybody.
And the good part about it, there's no big fish in the small pond. You know, everybody's goals are same and similar. So you're not feeling like you're just doing this on an island or you're just stuck in a school where people don't get you or understand what you're going through. So it's good in that way.
But now players are playing for scholarships. So they're looking for clock and they're looking for touches. Yeah. How do you try to move them all towards the same goal? And like on this team that Rudy and Lakai play, how many guys are on that team?
10.
Okay, and so is it equal playing time? Is it what?
No, definitely not.
It's just like a high school team or anything else.
No, it is. And to be honest with you, I'm pretty good with being able to get people in the games, developing people. I think that's my strength. So what happens is, because we've been winning so at such a high frequency, these two right here, because they know exactly what I want. They've been with me for 9 years, both of them, and just to know, like, their coaches on the floor, so they make my job that much easier to even coach the other guys. We got 7 guys with Division I aspirations and recruiting. So,
and obviously, though, they want to prove this stuff.
Yes.
So do they get frustrated if they're not getting time?
We go through some of that, but really, I think everybody's found their role. So people are playing their role, and that's the reason why we're 20-1 since Thanksgiving.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about how it's different than a high school experience. Stay with us. It's the Minnesota Prep Academy basketball team in studio with us. Tomorrow they leave for California to play a little ball. We'll talk to him about that as well. Stay with us. Prep school for basketball in Minnesota. We've long heard about these in Las Vegas and out east in California, et cetera. Now there's one in Minnesota, and they've been on a pretty good roll here in terms of playing against. Now is a typical tournament, Rudy, you start this one. Is it like if I was to go watch you play this weekend, are you in one designated auditorium with a bunch of fans, or is it like an AAU tournament where there's a bunch of courts and a bunch of teams playing at the same time? What is it?
No, it's just one game at a specific time. So a team would play, and then it would just be like a regular high school basketball tournament.
That's what it feels like. So you go out, play your game. It's not like there's 6 games going on.
No. You get your time, and everybody else would do the same.
The only time we felt like that was at the TARC. We played in the Tartania.
Oh, yeah.
Where is that now?
Tartania Classic. It was in Las Vegas. It wasn't part of our league. It was just a high school event. And it felt like
part of Jerry Tarkanian named after.
Yeah, it felt like an AAU event.
But in general, so you go in tomorrow night, you play a game. If you win, you play either way. I assume again, right?
These are league games.
Okay. Yep. How many games do you play in California?
2.
One Saturday and
1 Sunday.
And then you come home.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And all these teams are filled with Division I players, or not necessarily so.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. At least 5 on every team.
So, like, Lakai, how many hours a day do you think you spend on basketball?
Right when we get to the building,
Which is what time of day?
Like 8, 9, yeah.
Yeah.
8, 9, we probably do class, probably, you know, get our work done probably in like an hour or hour and a half.
You mean your homework or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and then, I mean, depending on what time we get down there, so it could be like 3 hours, to be honest, a day.
3 hours a day of basketball?
Yeah.
And then is there weight training, too? What do you?
Yeah, we lift right after practice or before practice, depends.
And are the practices always at the same time, or might you practice twice a day? What do you do?
We practice once a day now. We cut the two a days out because the season.
But, yeah.
Yeah. But
and you do a lot of shooting on your own?
Yeah, we got a shooting machine, so it gets a rebound for us now.
That's kind of nice, Rudy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely nice because having to go chase after balls is not it.
Yeah, I'd still go shoot my driveway if I had one of those things,
oh,
you know?
Man.
That's the fix. Plus, it gets good arc on the ball, doesn't it?
You definitely get a good arc on the ball.
Yeah.
If you don't, it's going to hit the net.
If you don't what?
It's going to hit the net.
Danielle, how do you communicate with the parents back home for the kids that are from other states? How do you make sure that they feel good about their experience?
Oh, absolutely. Well, so what we do is the beautiful thing about it is that we have a wonderful fan base with the parents. I mean, we have seen parents show up in other states that we were playing in, you know.
I see. So they could come from anywhere
anywhere. Yeah. So, you know, so the communication is really good. And because social media is a big thing now, not like it was when we were in school. Social media allows these parents to be in touch with what we're going on. And they also can watch games live that's streamed through our network that's a part of our league.
The Grind Session Network?
Yep, the Grind Session Network through Tangier Sports. So every game that we play in for the Grind Session is streamed live.
On YouTube.
On YouTube.
YouTube.
Yep. Yep.
So if you want to keep up with it, you can.
Yep.
Now, Lucas, next year, Lakai will be gone. Mm-hmm. Are you going to keep this thing going and when your son's not there?
Yeah, that's been a question, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
I don't think that ever even crossed me and Donnell's mind where we're not going to keep it going. Yeah, I mean, he definitely helped start this platform, and he was definitely one of the reasons why we really wanted to get it going. But, I mean, to keep it going, that's legacy. So we got kids. I got younger kids coming up. My son is going to be 13 next month. My baby son, and you know, I'd be crazy if I stopped. Plus, my wife would kill me.
She likes it, huh?
Yeah, she just wanted to make sure that I'm taking care of the other kids behind him.
Now, your home is the Boys and Girls Club in North Minneapolis.
Yes.
And that's where you practice. Is that where the classrooms are, too?
Yes.
So you kind of rent that out and it becomes your school?
No, we not kind of. We do. We rent it out.
Yeah, you take it over and yep. You got it all day or
all day.
Specific hours?
Yep. So Boys and Girls Club programming from 3 to 6:30, and basically we have it the rest of the time.
Okay, you just work around however you want to do it then,
mm-hmm.
And you play games there too.
We did last night, so that was rare. Normally, typically we wouldn't.
Who'd you play?
So our fifth year prep played Quakerdale from Iowa.
How'd it go?
We won by 20. Adrian Sprinkles, our one of our top kids from last year, my nephew from Brooklyn Center, he had 40 points.
Did he really?
For the second time this year. He had 40 on Casper as well, Casper Community College out in Wyoming.
So you play community colleges with that team too?
They play 15 community college games.
And do those count for the community college? You know, a lot of what goes into this is, yeah, we'll play if it can count in our schedule, or we'll play if it doesn't count. That's a big part of it, right, Danielle?
Yeah, yeah. It counts. Community college, they have to count that as an L or a win,
yes.
Right? So, but the beautiful thing about it is just that our team gets to play, instead of sometimes going JUCO, they have an opportunity to play a JUCO schedule as a prep school and never lose and don't lose.
Yeah, without losing eligibility. And they're in essence freshmen.
Yes.
Okay. So like Sprinkles, where's he getting recruited from?
Coastal Carolina, Tulsa, Portland State. You got a couple.
Just go somewhere and play, right?
Yeah.
Get paid for if you can and play.
Yeah, he's ready too. And the big thing with him was about being mature. So he's a prime example of what the fifth year prep is good for. To be able to develop bigger, faster, stronger, get mentally tougher, mentally stronger, and then be able to compete at a level that you didn't even understand.
Like Rudy and Lakai, would they go fifth-year prep or not?
No. Both these guys.
Everybody's different.
Yes. Yep.
But they could if they wanted to.
It's option. Yep.
And you base that generally on what, their athleticism or their academics?
Both.
Or what?
Both. We'll do an assessment of them. I'll see where they're at. We'll evaluate their academics. See what they need as far as SAT, ACT prep or grades or whatever, and then physically, physical feats, what we have to work on, and then if there's some, you know, glitches in the mental system or something that needs to be jarred or even more exposure.
Maturing.
Or just a little more exposure, and then we'll make them decisions. Or we'll make the decisions with their families.
I got you.
Yep.
Now, Rudy, what kind of game you got?
My type of style?
Yeah. You're breaking ankles? You're lacing them? What are you doing?
I'm more of a leader type, so I just kind of try to figure out, like, what the team needs me to do it, and I try to go out there and do it. But overall, I think I play more of, like, a slasher and then a sit-down defender and then knock down some open shots, stuff like that, and then facilitate, too.
The guy, what's your style?
He's a bully.
I like to I'm a real physical guard. I like contact and stuff like that. But, I mean, real poise, don't get rattled too much, and I can shoot it. I can really do everything, really.
There's nothing that you need. Nah. It's all right there.
Yeah.
Lucas?
Yeah.
Me? You agree with both of them?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about me.
You were what you call a volume shooter.
So, yeah, no. These guys right here, they're like what I wanted to be. So I believe that.
What high school did you go to, Lucas?
I was all-time leading scorer at Robbinsville Cooper.
Cooper,
man.
Rashad Vaughn
broke my scoring record.
Who did?
Shout out to Rashad Vaughn.
Rashad Vaughn. How about Rodney Cooper?
No, Rodney Williams. Rodney didn't catch me. He was close, but he didn't catch me.
But Vaughn got you before he went to prep school?
Man, Rashad had like 14.
Those are some real numbers then.
Yeah, he started playing in eighth grade.
Where's he playing now, do you know?
I haven't heard from him.
He was first-round pick, for people that don't recall, Milwaukee Bucks. And then, you know, like a lot of first-round picks, all of a sudden he's out of the league, and I don't know where he went next.
Yeah, I haven't even talked to him, so I don't know. Hopefully he's doing great wherever he's at.
Now, I'll tell you one thing, though. Minnesota basketball has got a lot of great players now, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, especially this class of 2020. I think, I love Jalen Suggs, but he's not the only guy here. And there's a bunch of guys. Eden Prairie got some guys. Hopkins got some guys.
Willard, kid from Buffalo, scored 53 on Hopkins.
He scored 53 on Hopkins. So, yeah, it's some players in Minnesota for sure.
Do you get a lot of calls, Donnell, from all over the country to people that are inquiring right now or what?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So while we're in the season, I mean, even right in the season, I want some people right now wanted to come, and our season is almost over with.
Yeah.
So we're going to look back at our emails and get a chance to get caught up and see who's all interested in. But we have got some high-exposed kids that are in other states that are already playing at the top of their high school league that want to come here. And I understand because, you know, you got this rule in Minnesota that you can't travel outside of, you know, 300 miles out the state. So
that's costing the Hopkins girls team now.
Right. Yeah. So having the opportunities to play these teams that you see on ESPN, you have that opportunity to do it with Minnesota Prep. So, which we're not bound by that rule by Minnesota State High School League. We go wherever we want to.
Yeah. Right. Now what you don't have, and Rudy and Lakai, you take this, is you don't have the traditional high school experience, meaning where you show up and there's boys and girls and you're intermixed in classes and there's a path. And Rudy and Lakai, you take this, is you don't have the traditional high school experience, meaning where you show up and there's boys and girls and you're intermixed in classes and there's a pep band there on Friday nights and all that goes with being in high school. Do you ever crave that? Do you ever think about that?
So, like, starting playing varsity at eighth grade and transitioning.
At BC, right?
Yeah, at BC and transitioning our sophomore year. I feel like we kind of got that four-year experience. But for other people, I think it just depends on if they're ready to make that jump. But sometimes I do miss it, but other times I don't look back on it and regret nothing because it's an amazing journey I've been in. I'm just, taking it all in. Yeah.
Lakai?
Yeah, like what you said, like we're playing varsity early. We got a lot of love at Brooklyn Center, especially after we went to state.
Who knocked you off that year?
Caledonia.
Caledonia knocks a lot of people off.
That eighth grade to our sophomore year.
Come play us now, though.
Definitely. Let's see if they knock us off today. Yeah.
But give them access to the whole country.
That eighth grade.
We're still playing.
Eighth grade to sophomore year, that was a good experience. But, I mean, playing against the top players in the country and the top point guards and – and if you're a real competitor, like, you can't beat
it. You crave
it.
That.
Who's the best you played against?
In my position?
Yeah.
Deshaun Nix.
And he's going to UCLA?
Yeah.
Okay. Where is he from? What's his?
I think he's from
Alaska.
Alaska, really?
Yeah, but he moved to Las Vegas so he can get, like, well, he moved to the States, so.
Yeah. Now, Rudy, in this day and age, with all the videos that are out there, it's just amazing to me, you know, when Minnie Ha was going to play that team. What's her name again for California?
Sierra Canyon.
The Sierra Canyon. I mean, in 30 seconds, everybody had videos of LeBron James' kid up, you know, looking at him. But you could do that all the time with these guys you play against the grind session. Do you do that? I mean, are you guys on the computer all the time saying, check this out? Because it's a whole new network that's moved in the basketball community.
It's definitely different. Golly, that's a tough question. But
loaded on you.
But everybody's got their own video reel now, right?
Oh, almost? Yeah. Everybody's, I mean, like, it's all blown out of proportion a little bit. When you play, like, they're good, but, you know, highlights only show the good stuff. Watch the full game, and you see what they don't want to do. So, I mean, you could watch the highlights and be in awe of them, or you could go study the full game and see what they really do and what they don't do.
Right, because you can overwhelm you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I see, you know, these kids call this stuff up, and look at this kid, look at that kid. And obviously it's four impressive plays they made, you know? But as you said, that's not context.
No, for real.
But and that tends to be the oversight of how they view and how they get their publicity. So, I mean, you know, it's marketing. Big marketing campaigns go on.
You market these players so that because, you know, you need kids getting scholarships to keep this thing going and have people want to come here.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, me and Coach Luke, we always sit down and talk about, you know, the strengths and of our kids and trying to get them in a position where, you know, they are being exposed. This platform already is big exposure. You know, with their marketing already, they market our kids anyway. And so we just kind of like tell on the back of that and send video out. You know, social media is a big thing, and we're starting to realize that now. And their games speak for itself. So you're just not just going to see clips of four breaking ankle plays. You have to see the whole game to see the small intangibles, because that's what college coaches is doing. They can look at the highlights, but most of the conversations that we have with college coaches when they contact us, send me the full tape or I'm coming to see them. And so,
like this weekend when you play in California, will you have a lot of college coaches there? Obviously, they're also playing in season.
Yeah, they definitely will be.
Yeah, somebody from the staff will be there.
Yes. Yeah. So some, you know, and I don't, you know, University of California,
Cal Berkeley, Loyola Marymount, Idaho. Like there'll be, at least 10 Division I schools.
Go ahead, Rudy.
Can I? So when you're playing these number one recruits and they're ranked on ESPN. When college coaches are coming in to see them and you knock them off, you just gave yourself a chance to be looked at, because that's another opportunity that a lot of people don't look at. And, you know, we go into these games somewhat kind of like an underdog and just, you know, like, this is our chance. Let's go take this.
Yeah, you probably don't know this, but did you know LeBron James' high school point guard lives in Minnesota? I see him at the health club. He's got two kids that are great tennis players that are, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old.
Drew Joyce or
something? No, it's Allie. I forget, but he showed me the pictures of him and LeBron after they won the state championship, and he played. Anyway, he ended up going to Division I. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, it didn't hurt to have people coming in looking at LeBron, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not that he couldn't play, but, you know, sometimes you can get lost, right, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's the biggest thing about our exposure. Like, when we go and play basketball, I mean, like, we just had a game when we played Hamilton Heights, which is the ranked number two team in the country. You know, it was a bad call at the end. Lekai was supposed to hit a three and be at the line. He got fouled, and we could have won the game.
It would have been a four-point play, I mean?
It would have been a four-point play. Yes, it would have been. But, you know, it's those environments that we're in. We played in the Paul Millsap, who was an NBA player, in his tournament in Atlanta, Georgia.
Gentlemen, I got to let you go. This got away from me, and I didn't even realize it. If people want to ever come see you play, you're gonna have a game again, right?
We'll send Mike all the information.
Promise?
Yes, we will.
Gentlemen, I always appreciate it.
Thank you.
Donnell, Rudy, Lekai, Lucas, always good to visit with you.
All right.
Have fun
you.
In California.
Thank all right, you.
Think of us back here in the cold, okay?
We will.
But okay.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.